This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
Anna Maria Andriotis covers consumer lending.
And a big chunk of that has to do with credit scores and credit reports and how consumers do or do not get approved for loans.
A credit score is created by an algorithm, which takes in some of your personal information and spits out a grade for your financial health.
It is a three-digit score ranging from a low of 300 to a high of 850. Generally, if you're around 700, you're considered to be creditworthy. The higher your score, the easier it is to get approved for loans at lower interest rates, ranging from credit cards to mortgages, auto loans.
Lending is at a record high. But over the past 3 years, more Americans have been struggling to pay back those loans, which raises a question. Are credit scores out of whack?
Today on the show, the new changes coming to credit scores and what that says about the economy. Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Kate Limbaugh.
And I'm Ryan Knutson. It's Wednesday, January 29th.
Banks and other lenders use credit scores as a guide for who it's safe to approve loans for. But recently, some lenders have been feeling like that guide might be a little off.
Lenders have been expressing some of their concerns that, are we approving people who we shouldn't be approving? Because they have a 720 credit score, and a 720 is, for the most part, creditworthy. But are they really a 720 score? Or are they really a 690 or lower than that? Are we approving people because they look creditworthy based on their score, but they're really not?
Last week, Anna Maria reported that FICO, one of the most widely used credit scores, was changing, in part to address this concern. It's a move that will affect millions of Americans.
The new FICO score version is going to be harsher, essentially. And what harsher means is that your credit score will be lower than what it is right now if you're missing payments and or have more debt. So millions of people could see their credit scores fall. Now, on the flip side, people who have scores of 680 or above, who continue to maintain sort of good debt management and payment behavior, FICO says that they will actually end up seeing a higher score with the new version. So there's almost less tolerance now for messing up.
FICO changes its score every couple of years. And this time, it's making three major adjustments. The first is related to missing payments. If you pay your credit card or other loans late, you'll be penalized even more harshly than before. The second is it will take into account a longer history of your debt levels.
So one really interesting change is that FICO scores up until now have factored in the debt that you currently have. But the new version is going to take into account your history of debt.
The new score takes a longer view. It will look at how your debt levels change over time. The current score just looks at a person's debt levels over the past month or so. So, FICO will now factor in missed payments more harshly and debt over time. And it will also change how it factors in a third thing, personal loans.
Personal loans are generally unsecured loans that people can use for almost any purpose. You can use them to consolidate your credit card debt, to renovate your home, to take a vacation.
Vacations, huh?
Right. I mean, some lenders will place restrictions on what you can use these loans for, but for the most part, no. You can use it for pretty much almost anything.
Personal loans have grown rapidly. To give a sense of scale, balances on personal loans increased by more than $100 billion from 2011 to 2019. And personal loans have been integrated into the FICO score in the past. But now they're being treated more harshly if those loans are used in a certain way. If you take out a personal loan to pay off credit card debt, but simultaneously rack up new credit card debt, you'll likely see your score fall.
If a consumer signs up for a personal loan to pay down their credit card debt, which is one of the more common reasons why personal loans are used. Let's say the $10,000 of credit card debt, let's say that you had, drops to zero at the same time that you've opened a new personal loan for $10,000. So far, so good. The new score isn't going to penalize you. But you have that $10,000 personal loan, and then your credit card debt starts rising again. So it's like, well, wait a minute, what's going on here? You're incurring new credit card debt while you still have that old card debt that's wrapped into a personal loan. That's an example of people who, under the new credit scoring version, will be penalized.
FICO wants to take these personal loans into account because they're a growing kind of personal debt.
Okay, so the focus of these changes to the FICO score, missed payments, personal loans, and kind of a more extended credit history, what would you say is motivating this stricter approach?
Two things. One, consumer debt is at record levels, and it is, we're really talking here about the ramp up, the pretty fast ramp up in non-mortgage debt. The other factor is lenders' concerns. One of the ways that FICO makes changes and tweaks to its algorithms is in the conversations it has with its clients. Its clients are lenders, and hearing concerns or any feedback they provide does play a role in changes they make to credit scores. So several lenders publicly have voiced concerns about how credit scores and credit reports might not be fully capturing consumers' sort of risk level.
Credit scores are higher than they've ever been. And one reason for that might be that the economy has been doing great. Unemployment has been super low, which means people have income to pay their bills. But there's another factor that likely helped fuel the rise. After the recession, so many people had such low credit scores that the banks had trouble finding customers. So banks and other lenders asked FICO if there was a way to boost lending without creating more risk.
By the time we got to around 2013, lenders basically wanted to be able to give loans to more people. So essentially, they were looking for, are there things we can do here to go a little bit easier on people? Because maybe if we were to remove a negative account, we would see that these people are actually really responsible, but, you know, they missed the bill that came in the mail or...
So they're trying to kind of juice credit scores.
Kind of trying to increase credit scores, but as it was explained, in a responsible way, right? That nobody had the appetite to just do sort of risky, sloppy lending. Nobody said, let's remove credit cards or auto loans from the credit score, you know. It was, let's take it a little easier on people. We can then make more loans while letting people in who really are financially responsible.
What were the negatives that FICO deprioritized during this period?
So the first change in 2014 was focused on sort of medical debt collection, right? And I mean, it makes sense, right? There are, I'm sure we all know people where, or have maybe have experienced it ourselves, where we always pay our debts on time, but something got screwed up at a hospital or doctor's office, or we just sort of missed that bill and then saw our credit score fall as a result of that and thought, well, that's not fair. I pay all my other loans on time.
After that, other kinds of negative information started getting wiped from credit reports. Like in 2015, when New York's attorney general announced a settlement he'd reached with credit reporting firms over mistaken hits to people's credit.
The credit reporting system suffers from inaccuracy and often from outright injustice. Many consumers have to deal with incorrect credit reports that have life-changing errors for reasons that are far beyond their control.
Those settlements were basically about the errors in people's credit reports and holding the credit reporting firms responsible for that. What resulted from that essentially was the credit reporting firms doing a bunch of analysis and kind of throwing their hands up in the air and saying, you know what? Some negative accounts that are prone to errors, we're just going to remove them all from credit reports.
At first, if the credit reporting firms weren't sure who you were, they said they would remove certain things, like a tax lien on your house or a court judgment against you.
Take a name like John Smith, right? Like how many John Smiths are there in the country, right? What people were sort of dealing with a legitimate problem was that you'd end up with a tax lien on your credit report because you have a common name, but it really wasn't your tax lien. It was the other John Smith tax lien. And that's where the regulators came down hard on the credit reporting firms, but the process got complicated enough and the regulatory risk got high enough that eventually the credit reporting firm said, we're just going to remove most of these.
Which means the credit reporting firms decided to wipe those credit hits from almost everyone, even people with uncommon names.
So now you have some of the worst credit events in people's lives falling off credit reports. And yes, in some cases, they are legitimately falling off because they didn't belong to that person to begin with. They were erroneous. And I don't want to make little of that problem. That is a big problem for consumers. But you also had people who legitimately had those negative events and had them wiped off.
FICO and credit reporting firms have said that a lot of the people who had negative information wiped from their accounts still had other dings on their records, and that would keep their credit scores low. But these changes did have an effect.
So lending rose. Loans became easier to get, and we saw a ramp up in pretty much all of them. Credit card debt surpassing $1 trillion in total in the U.S. a few years ago. Auto loan debt, I mean personal loan debt, all of it. It just became a lot easier to get credit.
Many people's credit scores have risen since these changes from the 2010s. The average U.S. credit score is now 706. That's a record high. And now some banks are starting to think that American credit scores don't line up with reality.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. If you're like most people, you've had your fair share of financial questions. Questions like, will you be able to afford a third kid? Will you be able to do everything you want when you retire? What if you outlive your savings? Empower knows these questions can be stressful, so they're here to help answer your what-ifs and empower what's next. Join 18 million Americans and take control of your financial future. Tap the banner to learn more or visit empower.com.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. As credit scores rise to record highs, banks are concerned that some borrowers are riskier than their scores suggest. Can you give us some examples of lenders who have expressed their frustration with these inflated credit scores?
So last year, Capital One CEO spoke about this on an earnings call and said that we're far away from the last recession, to the point where events that occurred in people's lives have fallen off of their credit reports. Their credit scores no longer reflect some of that negative credit behavior that was associated with these people back then.
Derogatory data from the Great Recession has, over the last few years, been rolling off. You know, we may be looking at data that might not paint the full picture.
The standard in the credit reporting and scoring industry for a long time has been that most negative behavior will stay in your record for 7 years and will then fall off.
But shouldn't that be the case? I mean,
yeah, I think it should be, because why shouldn't people be given sort of a fair start after many years of being penalized? You messed up. You had to deal with the repercussions of that because your score fell and you couldn't get credit then.
Or you were dealing with the recession.
Sure. Sure.
That was
you
massive.
Lost your job, right? You lose your job, you can't pay your bills. That's it, right? So when I heard Capital One CEO airing those concerns, I thought, well, you know, that's a little bit unfair, because as we're talking about right now, why shouldn't somebody get a fair start after, you know, being penalized for a while? But the flip side of that argument is, if I as a lender am looking at two people who have a 720 credit score, the 720 who had a foreclosure or missed loan payments and the 720 who never did, are both of those people really a 720? Shouldn't I know that the 720 with black marks in their past, like, had those black marks? There's fair arguments on both sides, but it was interesting to hear a major lender airing concerns about credit scores and the inability to get a full read on loan applicants from them.
This new FICO algorithm won't change the 7-year window, but it will bring down some scores in other ways, like with a change to how it factors in personal loans. Lenders have been concerned about those loans too.
Credit card company Discover even brought it up on an earnings call.
Discover Financial, one of the larger credit card issuers in the country, on and off on its earnings calls, executives have flagged concerns around certain types of consumers becoming more indebted with personal loans and how there's been some type of knock-on effect with regards to these people then maybe having difficulty paying other debts, like credit cards.
Discover has this category of debt that it calls troubled, meaning it has to give borrowers some kind of relief to help them pay it back. While Discover's CEO told Anna Maria that the company hasn't seen a deterioration of consumer loan performance, this month, Discover announced it had $3.4 billion of this kind of troubled credit card debt. That's up $1 billion from the year before. The change in how FICO is calculating scores is meant to address all of these small signs of trouble with the current system. Because FICO sits in a unique place where it's seeing the economy from two perspectives, the consumers and the lenders. So how do you think we should think about this balance between fewer people getting access to loans they might need, but also the value of a tighter system where the people who get loans are those who are more likely to pay them back and therefore a more stable economy?
So the good side of this would be that if this works, we shouldn't really be seeing a spike in loan losses, missed payments, and from a performance standpoint, the outlook should be good. The sort of negative side of it is, so could we see a slowdown in loan approvals? Could that result in less consumer spending? Could that have ripple effects on the overall growth, you know, the rate of growth in the economy? Without credit, shopping slows down, right? Consumption slows down. FICO sits at the center of the U.S. consumer lending system, and its changes, its tweaks to its algorithm are really sort of a broad statement of where the consumer credit cycle and consumer credit behavior is. So the fact that they have now taken a step to make it on many levels harder to get a decent or higher score suggests that access to credit could soon decline, and that maybe we're getting to a point where we really are in that eighth or ninth inning of the economic cycle.
That's all for today, Wednesday, January 29th.
The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal.
If you like our show, follow us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. We come out every weekday afternoon.
Thanks for listening.
See you tomorrow.